Our reading is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, a very well-known passage, of course. And reading from verses 25 to 34. Lord Jesus Christ says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as the passage says and teaches, we are not immune to worries. I mean, that should not surprise us, because then the Word of God would not address that issue. The Word of God would not tell us not to worry if that isn't something that we do. But it's the fact that we do worry, the fact that we have a tendency to become alarmed about the basic necessities of life, that the Word of God addresses that. You can be sure that the Word of God is not going to address something that we never experience. No, God's Word addresses the needs of God's people. And each and every one of us can testify to the fact that at times our hearts are full of concerns. They are full of worries, anxieties even. Even to the point that we begin to almost slip. Even to the point that we allow ourselves not only to think certain thoughts, but we actually put them into words. Now, in the light of all that God has done and all that He's said in His Word, you can see how subtle and powerful the devil is, that he can get us even to that point of denying, questioning the clear promises of God's Word. Even the psalmist, as you know, no doubt we've mentioned that before and you've probably read it too, but the psalmist said he nearly stumbled. I mean, it wasn't over some theological truth that was, you know, takes time to kind of understand, and there's so many nuances to that, and it's that it takes time and effort. No, no, no. What was he confused about and nearly said the very opposite of what the Bible says? A very basic truth. That a life of holiness and obedience to God's word is better than a life of disobedience and lawlessness and wickedness. And you say, well, you know, our Sunday school children can tell us that. I mean, if we gave them that question, they could answer that question. In fact, the Psalms begin with that statement. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. It was a very fundamental truth. And yet he slipped. He nearly slipped. And it was as he went into the sanctuary of God and focused his mind and heart on God's word that once again he was able to see clearly, and his heart was once more at peace. Because in the confusion of everything that he saw and his inability to explain every detail of the situation, his heart returned to rest in God's unchangeable promises. And so that's what we have in this passage before us. God isn't one that uses just cliches. Right? Don't worry, be happy. I mean, that's the way the world comes at us, isn't it? Well, it's all too easy to say glib words that come off our lips. But we have to think about how does our mind think about those things? How does our mind organize these truths and apply these truths? So this morning we don't simply want to say cliches, because cliches don't help in the midst of struggles and trials. When somebody's worried and concerned, it's not enough simply to say, oh, God has everything in his hands. No, the person needs more than that. And so the scriptures, as in this passage, as in so many, in a sense, sitters around the Word of God. And it helps us to logically go through these issues, so that it becomes something that we understand. It's not that somebody throws us a lifeline and we grab it and we're going to be pulled ashore. No, no, no. It explains in a very reasoned way, in a very logical way, so that we can apply it to the different circumstances that we're going to be faced with after this particular one is overcome. So in other words, we need to have a pattern. We need to have good understanding and reason. Remember, the Bible speaks about giving a reason for the hope that lies in us. It's not this hope that we have, and when we're asked about it and we can't explain it. No, no, no. We have to have a reason. So that when the devil attacks us once again and tries to destabilize us, we have a logical argument. So that our hearts are kept strong and certain in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this passage remind us of and teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us to prioritize. Prioritize. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. I mean, he does tell us not to worry about your life, but he doesn't just stop there about eating and drinking or about the body. But he gives a reason. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So we have to prioritize so that we see the connections and the relative importance of various things, so that we do not minimize God's blessings and strength that he gives to us as we focus upon and worry about things that are less important than these things over here. That so often happens, doesn't it? We focus on certain things. I mean, we remember Samuel, of course. He was going to anoint a king. And once he saw Saul, he's so impressed, head and shoulders above everyone else. What more do we need? He's the one. I mean, that's like buying a car and just looking on the outside and say, it's a great car. It's a wonderful car. I mean, look at the paintwork. Look at the beauty of it. The engine's all shot, but we don't look at the engine, right? It looks good, though. It looks good. I mean, everyone would think, what a fool. That's not the way to buy a car. Many other things to look at. But that's the way he did it. And, of course, came to regret it. And not many years after that, did the same thing again in terms of a king. And again, the same thing. That these sons of Jesse, they look so strong, so fitting for the task. Surely it was one of these that the Lord would choose, but the Lord said no. But Lord, don't you see how great they are, well equipped? No. Until he saw David. And Samuel thought, no, it's not going to work. I mean, look at him. Keeper of sheep. And God said, yeah, that's the one. But what are you looking at? And the Lord has to instruct Samuel that we're not just to look at things outwardly, but inwardly. For David was a man after the heart of God. So we have to be careful then when we look at certain circumstances that we don't just focus on those things, that we focus on the whole picture and we focus on the more important things. Abraham, of course, was a good example because he left everything, all the outward advantages of where he was, and he left them all behind. For what? Because it was more important for him to follow God in terms of where God would lead him and to trust him. And so all of those things he left behind. Same as Moses. Leaving all the pleasures of Egypt and the influence to stand with the people of God. And of course the hymn writer puts it wonderfully, doesn't he? Whatever my lot, he says. Whatever my lot. You, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. But how many don't even consider the comfort and the peace and the security of soul that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ, and all we focus on is the external circumstances that we happen to be faced with in that particular time in our life. And we come to all kinds of conclusions and moaning and groaning and complaints, and yet we ignore such a solid foundation. And so we need to be able, as I said, to look at these things. And by the way, we can even teach those things ourselves. You know, when we are struggling with ill health, and maybe some in our church face those kinds of situations, can you imagine how trivial to them it seems when you come with all kinds of other concerns that you have that are not life-threatening? I mean, when they're struggling for their life, and you're saying, and you're complaining about, you know, that your car's broke down. Oh, it's broke down. No, I don't know. So it helps us to prioritize. And we do have to speak to ourselves about these things. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. There are far more important needs that you have that God has already provided for. There are many needs that the world has that God has an answer for, but they're not interested in those things. They're interested in all of these other things. And the Lord Jesus Christ brings that caution to us. Now, our hearts and lives, in terms of our faith, in terms of our eternal well-being, are the most important. Most important. And in that regard, God has fully accomplished those things for us. He has forgiven all of our sins through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's drawn us close to Himself. He's given us the privilege and the right to be called the children of God. We have access into His presence every day. Every day. So how is it? How is it? In the light of those things, can we be confused enough by the devil to utter or think words of complaint against God? Sometimes I say to people that. I say, look, you have complaints and you have concerns. Now I want you to imagine that we're standing at the foot of the cross. And now I want you to say those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that you've just said to me. I want you to say those to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very difficult for them to say that. Because when you are brought face to face with all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done, yes, there may be struggles in our life. Yes, there may be difficult circumstances we have to face. But in no way can we say that God has forgotten us and doesn't care. Impossible. God has given us way, way beyond anything that we deserve. Because He did not spare His only begotten Son. If God gave us nothing after the Lord Jesus Christ, we would still thank Him and praise Him for eternity. Which is what Habakkuk says, doesn't it? Even if all of these things fail in terms of agriculture, that nevertheless, He would rejoice and thank God. So we need to prioritize in terms of the spiritual over the higher than the physical. But here's this reasoned argument that the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to go through so that we remember these things. So in terms of the concerns that we have. He says, look, I'm going to show you how unreasonable it is for you to think the way that you think. So I just want you to look at nature, and I want you to look at the birds of the air. They don't have the abilities that you have. They don't have the strength. They don't have the mental capacity. We call people bird brains because not because they're intelligent and great, right? It's an insult. Well, these birds, he says, look at them. They don't sow. They don't reap. And yet, God takes care of each and every one of them. God provides for their needs. That's the God that we worship. That's the God of this world. Nothing goes beyond His notice. He doesn't have to be told and called and say, oh, look, there's a mess over here. You forgot about it. No. He doesn't have to be told anything. I'm sure you and I have never prayed about the birds, have we? They said, Lord, please take care of all the birds as well. We never did that. But He takes care of them. And we admire them. And we look at them and we say, oh, look how beautiful they are. But God took care of them. Just like the lilies of the field. We never prayed about those either. But yet God dresses them up in such a beautiful way, even though they're just passing. Today they're there and tomorrow they're gone. And yet God still gives them all of that attention and so dresses them that even Solomon wasn't arrayed like one of those. That's the attention that God gives to His creation. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ argument in all that is to come to a very important conclusion. It goes from the lesser to the greater. So the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to reason this way when you're faced with struggles in your life, when storms come, as it were. He said, I want you to reason like this. I want you to think like this. I want you to speak to yourself like this. If God so takes care of the birds, that are not worth much, by the way, in our economy, and the lilies of the field, then how much more important are you? How much more important are you? For whom the Lord God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you can appreciate and understand, and I'm sure we all can, that we are more important than these things, then the conclusion is clear. God cares for us in a much more intimate way than that. So whatever may be the reason why we are faced with certain difficulties, it certainly isn't the case that God doesn't care. It certainly isn't the case that we are irrelevant to God. No, that's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. So when those thoughts come, and invariably they do, then that's the way you need to counter the doubts that the devil seeks to sow. That's the way you need to stand up against him. And you need to use the same argument. And you need to say to the devil, look at the birds. Look at the lilies. They're insignificant. And my Father in heaven takes care of each and every one of them. I'm His child. I'm more important than they are. He hasn't forgotten me. And to foil the threats that He brings to us. People of God, as I said, times may be difficult, times may be great for some people, times may not be so great for other people. There may be struggles that we face. Our lives may be in turmoil in one area or the other. We need to turn to God. We need to quieten our hearts before Him. We need to reason in this way, so that our ears can be attuned to what He tells us to do as we traverse these difficult paths, rather than to have hearts that are filled with hopelessness and complaints against God. We're not going to take the right step if that's what our minds are filled with. We're not going to do anything positive and godly in those times. But when our hearts and minds are brought to compliance with the Word of God, now we're ready to listen to what God has to say. For every attack that the devil surrounds us with, God gives us a path of righteousness and a path by which we may go forward in faith and in obedience. But you have to listen to Him. And you have to push away all of these doubts that the devil floods into our hearts and minds. And He'll hit each and every one of us. None of us immune to those things. So what is the Lord Jesus Christ leading us to by doing these things and pointing these things out to us? Well, He's equipping us for life. He's equipping us for a life of faith. He's equipping us with all the life that life's going to bring, the ups and the downs, so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding, that we can address all of those things. So what are we today? What are we to do? Well, certainly, He says, don't worry about these things, because of the reasons that He's given, because He isn't unaware of our needs. He is fully engaged in our life. Every aspect of our life, of every one of us, God is always and has been always and will always be absolutely engaged. He's not absent. So that ought to bring a certain peace and comfort to our life. But what positively are we to do? Well, He says, this is what I want you to do. Follow the priorities that I've told you. So the first thing He says is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, He's saying, take care of the major things first. Focus your mind on these things. What is that? Well, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. To pursue holiness. Not to put off holiness when things go badly for us. Because why? What does that reflect? Well, that reflects what the devil charged God with respect to Job, that he only does these things, only worships you, because you give him everything. That plays right into the devil's argument. So when you get mad at God and get all flustered because things are not going well, then that's the impression that He's giving, and that's the impression we're giving to the world, that we only follow God because of what we can get from Him. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. No, we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, promote His kingdom, pursue His righteousness, out of gratitude for what God has done for us. That's our first call. And doesn't matter what's happening in our life, we're never going to detract from that. We're never going to waver from that. We're never going to suspend that while things get better for us. Or thinking, if only these things God sorted out, I would be much more effective in serving God. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because the devil would undermine whatever testimony you gave by saying, he only does this because God gave him everything. No, we're to serve His kingdom, His righteousness, because God takes care of us. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about these things. The Gentiles run after these things. I know that you need all these things. There's God's awareness. There's God's involvement. He said, I'm taking care of these things. I'll never forget to take care of those things. I care about those things, even about the Gentiles, never mind my own people. I have my reasons for allowing these things to happen. And maybe you don't know what those reasons are, just like Job didn't. But be assured that I am engaged. I am in full control. I am working out my good purposes. Continue to look to me. Continue to cry out to me. People of God, we need to be people that are stable in our hearts and minds. In all the changing scenes of life. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to quell every complaint, every concern. It's not to minimize those things. I'm not here to minimize. I'm not here to say to people that have concerns about A, B, or C, oh, grow up. No, I'm not here to say that. What I am here to say is, God is in full control of your life. The big things, spiritual things, he's evidently shown that in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other things, he has promised to take care of us. And so as the Catechism says, be patient. Be patient. It's not a question of if God will do it. No, no, no. That question has already been settled. God has promised. God has taken an oath that he will take care of us. It's just a matter of when in his good timing. Whether it's to do with our personal lives, our family lives, or whether it's to do with our state, or whether it's to do with our nation, or whether it's to do with the world. And we live in a world where everything is put on our shoulders and we open ourselves to it because we become news junkies. And everything that happens in this world is told to us and it's placed on our shoulders and on our minds, and it's just too much for us. But perhaps you have all of those worries. I want to say here this morning, all of those concerns that we have, I want to assure you that God is in full control. We need to do what he has told us to do, which is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. He will take care of all of those things. So let us trust him. Let us trust him. Not by rising above these things and saying, I'm not even going to think about these things. No, 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 no. We're not saying that. But just address them in the way that God calls you to address them. Arguing and reasoning in the way that he says. So that we can move forward. And we can be like Habakkuk. That even when things fail, we will praise the Lord. We will joy in the Lord. And when things go well, we will give God the glory. And when things look uncertain about the future, we will quell the doubts of those around us by saying that our God has the whole world in his hands, as well as the future. And so let us celebrate. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice with hearts that are calm because we trust in a God who has us in his powerful hands. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you address not only the heart, but the mind. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might understand these wonderful truths that you seek to imprint upon our hearts and minds, so that in the struggles of life, when the devil crowds us in and throws in our face all of the various difficulties that we are confronted with, that we do not lose our heads and minds and hearts, but we are able to give a reason for the hope that continues to be in our hearts and minds. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed fill our hearts and minds with your word, that we can celebrate today with all of our heart and mind and soul, and go forward in obedience and faith with a joy that no one can take from us. Our Father in heaven, we ask you would hear our prayers, that you would bless us this day, and as we move forward, for we pray these things in the precious name of our sovereign Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond.